Okay, so are we going into the vault?
If you're busy like me, going to the video store is a hassle. With Netflix, just make a list of the movies you want to see. And in about one business day, you'll get three delivered to your house.
Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, directed by Michael Rousselet, starring Alec Owen, Ben Geekly, I don't know, Olivia Taylor Dudley, and Larry King.
And Daniel Oswald.
And who? Patton Oswalt? Oh, okay.
Patton Oswalt.
Sorry, I didn't watch it.
And Daniel Prynne as the Pledge.
Now, I saw there was like 10 writers on this.
The glory hole.
Mm-hmm. They're writers. They're a comedy troupe, and they had a Kickstarter, I believe, to fund this film.
Oh.
And Patton Oswalt donated at the level that got him a cameo in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he ended up in it.
So he paid to be in this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. I'll let you guys talk about it. Sorry.
You didn't watch this?
No.
Dude.
I know. Bro. Dude.
I think you got a Patton Oswalt being in this film actually makes sense. I think he likes this type of comedy. I think it's just something appeals to him. He sees some filmmakers trying to do something different, and he wanted to be a part of it. I love this film. This thing is just bananas. This is literally like if me and Kevin, after my 30th birthday party, we drank a bottle of tequila, wrote a film, and then filmed it 10 minutes later. This would be it. This is everything you could ever imagine. Throw it at the kitchen sink, open the freezer, toss that in, and keep going. It's just nuts. I had so much fun watching this. I don't think I can ruin anything. Watch this film. The kills are funny. The jokes are funny. It is lame at times. It's hysterical at times. It doesn't take itself seriously. The baby scene, the guy and the girl having a baby in the tent, I was dying. I couldn't stop laughing. And when she gets smoked by mother, and the baby pops out of her chest. Dying. I'm like, this is just insane crap. And I even looked up to see there's a Boat Party Massacre 1 and 2. They're like, nope. I'm like, okay, I thought I missed these. This is nuts. It's just complete and utter nuts. I don't know how to describe this film. Either you're going to hate or love it the first 10 minutes. If you hate the first 10 minutes, turn it off. Because it just goes more nuttier. The jokes with the Pledge, I was dying. Have you beefed up? Have you beefed? You can't get better than that. So Daniel, not watching this film, is a fail on your part. Is all
Daniel, the premise of this film is that someone has found a videotape that was basically taken off cable access TV and
okay.
In the mid-80s. And it's the third film in a slot, like basically a Slumber Party Massacre series type of thing.
Okay.
And so it's shot like it's on VHS.
Yeah, I watched a trailer for it, and like this is, I just didn't like the look of it, so that's why I didn't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go on.
So it's the first 15 minutes or so, they recount what happened in Slumber Party Massacre 1 and 2. And then it starts in. So the main guy who survived both of those films is, it turns out he has a twin brother and he gets killed. Like the guy gets killed and it's up to the twin brother to fall through. There was a point at the 40 minute mark where I paused it and I said, good Lord, how much fucking time is left in this movie? Because this is so freaking painful. This movie was, it was like a joke. It was totally a fun film for them. But I did not find it a fun film to sit through. It had its moments, but it was a very long watch for 90 minutes. So, and there were some funny parts in it, the virgin sacrifice and all that weird stuff going on. Patton Oswalt is like the satanic police chief who wants to sacrifice a virgin, and then the bag of oranges thing was just bizarre.
Oh my God, that was fucking genius. The bag of oranges joke was genius.
Yeah. And there were bits and pieces where I thought they were trying to sort of cameo other horror films. Like there was a scene where the one guy with the jean jacket walks into the basement. And I thought, oh, maybe he looks a little bit like Ash from Evil Dead and stuff. But would I recommend this film? I don't know. I mean, you have to really be... Danny, you would love this, to be honest. You love horror movies.
Okay.
This is like a total lampoon of horror films, slasher films.
Okay, so it's parody. Okay.
Yeah, and it's got like the most brutal kills you could possibly imagine.
Maybe I'll watch like Slumber. So no. Maybe I'll binge Slumber Party Massacre and Friday Night Friday the 13th. Let me talk, sir, and I'll just binge those, and then I'll get the sense.
It's just one movie.
Why?
There is no one and two. There is it's
no. I know. Just get the sense of the style before I watch it. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be honest. This movie is not for everybody. You're either going to go with it or you're going to hate it. I went with it. I went with it hard. I laughed so much at this movie. The songs when they're cleaning up the cabin, you're like, clean it up, clean it up. And then they have the song when they're driving there, nobody's going to die tonight. I love this movie. It's my type of humor, I guess. And Greg Sestero from The Room is in it, so every time you saw him, I was like, oh, hi, Mark. But yeah, I love this movie. It's my type of humor. It's just goofy, over the top, and violent, and I loved it.
I have a couple more things. When they did the cut scenes, when you see the car fall off the cliff, and then they go back to the movie. I thought those were great. I think I forgot, Doug, you reminded me of the guy hiding the beers. Yeah. He's digging the hole, putting the beer in everywhere you go. He's hiding beer. I'm like, I know that guy. Daniel, epic fail again for not watching this.
Okay.
When the body falls into the lake through the sunken town,
yes.
Crashes in the roof of the church and the bodies come up.
Oh my God, that was hysterical. Yeah.
Bizarre.
Okay.
I really think I wrote this film in my sleep. It was so good. I was pounding the jungle in my room. It was an asphalt jungle.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a prime cut.
Which one are we going to?
I guess Simon has decided it's asphalt jungle.
Or prime cut. That was
no, hungry. It's too late. He's already done it.
Okay.
Set up the cue.
Okay, The Asphalt Jungle, directed by John Huston, starring starring Sterling Hayden, Lewis Calhoun, Gene Hagen, Sam James Whitmore, John McIntyre, Mark Lawrence.
And the very first appearance of Marilyn Monroe in film.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, okay. Marilyn Monroe.
Daniel, you're up.
Sure. I think I'm just spoiled by the modern heist movie that I didn't care that much, to be honest. I thought it looked fine. I don't know what to say about this one because it's just, yeah, I'm spoiled by the pacing of the modern heist movie. I just didn't really think this one was that eventful. Didn't really care about the characters too much. The acting was great. Like, Sam Jaffe as Doc, I thought he was great. So it's totally watchable, but it's just, I don't know if old movies are for me. I don't know. Like I said, spoiled by the modern heist movie. And that's all my thoughts for now, but I can add on to other people. Yeah, exactly. It's fine. Yeah.
So I will pick up from Daniel here. I have to disagree with you. I think this is exactly what I like in old movies. The Sean Huston shooting this alone tells you it's good. The pacing is excellent. The acting is good. I mean, there's no real wasted scenes. Everything is set up. The heist. Do the heist. I can't believe they went underground. That's what I liked. It's when he has the guy going down the manhole cover, and the next shot in modern film, it would show the guy going down the hole. But no, Huston takes us one step further and shows us the guy, boom, going down the hole, boom, he's already in the hole, and he's shooting from far away. To me, that was genius. You don't see that in modern films in any way, in my world. The way this makes this film so good, the storyline, I agree, could have been a little bit better, but I don't know if it's really about the storyline. It's about the characters. It's about learning their backstory. We know everybody's backstory in this film. We know everything about everybody. Like, everything. You know what they're going to do, for the most part. But to me, it's just Houston makes this city feel alive to me. That this thing was happening and we were just watching it as from a third party all the time. We were always just sitting there listening to conversations, watching things. I don't think this film's about the heist. I think it's about the characters involved in the heist. The heist to me was just a second nature. And I mean, it was nice to see Marilyn Monroe. And it took me a couple seconds and she started talking. I'm like, yeah, that's her. I thought she might be earlier. But no, I love this film. It's one of the few Monroe films I hadn't seen. And actually, surprisingly, one of the few John Huston films I haven't seen. So I'm going to say thank you to Doug. I love your pick. I wish I could say more about it, but it's a solid, beautiful afternoon watch. It's a little long, probably an hour 50, I think.
Yeah.
But I think you need that to tell the backstory for everybody. I really wish somebody got away, though. I'm going to kind of ruin the end. I wish some Doc had got away. I really like Doc.
That's my favorite scene in the movie, is Doc literally getting caught up in his own vices.
Yeah.
He could have got away clean, but no, he had to stay. He had to watch the young girl dance.
Yeah.
And because of that, the cops showed up and got him. I love that scene. It's his own vices that took him down. I love
that. Yeah, that cigar, the whole nine yards. The guy tried to tell him to go before that. The tax bill, we got to go.
I love this movie. It John Huston's known for his big movies, the travel films, like The Man Who Would Be King or Treasure of the Sierra Madre. I love this little small noir heist film. This is probably my favorite John Huston film.
Okay, cool.
I wish I'd seen it.
Oh, bad, Kevin. Bad.
It was not. It's one of those movies that's just not available on any streaming service at the moment.
I would have sent you a copy. Just ask.
Yep.
Keep swimming, Kevin. Keep swimming.
But it's not Finding Nemo. It's The Swimmer, directed by Frank Perry, starring Burt Lancaster, Janet Langard, Charles Drake, and Marge Champion.
I'm going to let Doug go because I haven't seen this for a while, but Doug put it on the list and I told him we wouldn't have time to rewatch it. So I remember most of it, Doug. It's all yours.
It's pretty much a movie that was kind of ahead of its time. It's very surreal. It's Burt Lancaster attempting to swim home from somewhere. And he decides he's going to swim a lap in all the pools in the backyard of this neighborhood to get home. And each house is kind of a different, I guess you could say, level of hell for him. Each one's a little more bizarre, a little more surrealistic. There's one pool with a little boy with no water in it. So he and the boy pantomime the swim. It's really a very strong performance by Burt Lancaster. I hadn't really seen too many other Lancaster films before I saw this. And it was his performance that really drew me in here because the movie is very surreal. And I liked it. I liked each different pool revealing a little more about his character's backstory until he gets home at the end and they don't say what happened, but his house is in ruins. Nobody's home and he's all alone. So I kind of saw it as his journey through hell.
I'm going to add a bit before I let Kevin go. Remind me a lot of Apocalypse Now. I think Apocalypse Now takes a lot from this film. I really think Francis Ford Coppola looks at this film and says, I see Apocalypse Now in it, like just parts of it. I think this film proves how good Burt Lancaster is as an actor. blows me away. Because I watched this and Birdman of Alcatraz around the same time, pretty much probably within a week of each other. And I'm like, what the hell? Burt Lancaster is amazing. I like the relationship with everybody he meets. He has a conversation with everybody. He's just in this like a swim shorts. I'm just going to hang out here and have a chat. I'm like, okay. And you just see what jerks people are in his neighborhood. And I think he has problems fitting in there. And I think that's what the end is telling us, that he's not destined to be in this world. He's looking for a new world. And he was swimming to get there. So he went in each backyard to try out their world and didn't like it. So he went to the next world, didn't like it, went to the next world, didn't like it. And he finally gets back to the world he started, and there's nothing there because he's tried everything. So I think his character is getting ready to move on to something different. I mean, he's very philosophical everywhere he goes. I mean, he's the life of the party. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to talk to him. A couple of people question what he's up to. He just says, I just want to swim and lap in your pool. So, and that's my theory. I think this film is so underseen at the time because people didn't understand it. Because I think that was the problem with this film. I think we appreciate it more now because I think we have a more nuance for it. And maybe we have different societal goals that they didn't have in 1967. Because that was mainly free love and all that. And that's not what this film is going for. This film is almost like a noir film for the 60s, but in color.
Yeah, but free love would be counterculture. This is a culture film. This is a normal, like middle of America kind of. Okay. I mean, it's an interesting reflection of America, but it's also from the point of upper middle class to upper class in New England. So it's set in Connecticut, and there's this whole pool party culture that has developed around pools in the 60s. I guess everyone has a pool in the area. So one day he looks out and he says, you know, there's literally a pool between here, where I am at my friend's house, and my house. So you know what I'm going to do? It's like a giant river. I'm going to swim every pool to get back home to my place. But there's nothing waiting for him at home. So it's the journey, I guess, that he's decided that he's put all his faith in. And that's what I took from the trailer.
So you didn't watch
I didn't see the film. Yes.
Another fail.
But it's a great great performance in the trailer, I'll have to admit.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah,
thanks.
I didn't want to buy it, so yeah. I
could have asked. Would have given you a rental copy.
Yeah.
Daniel?
I didn't watch it.
Okay, going back to me and Doug. So, Doug, what after seeing this, are you going to watch Birdman?
I haven't watched Birdman yet, but I did watch Elmer Gantry, the movie he won the Oscar for.
Absolutely amazing film.
The Professionals, his Western that he did.
I've seen that too.
I love that movie. What else did I watch?
The Killers.
The Killers I just watched. Brute Force, another jail film that he was in. Which one?
Brute Force, isn't that based on real life? I think it's a real life film. Based on a real life gang movie, crime. Pretty sure that's the one.
I'm not sure. It was about a riot in a jail.
Yeah.
So it's possible. That's it. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Burt Lancaster to me is one of these actors that just does not, should be on the same pedestal as Chaplin and same pedestal as Buster Keaton. For the 60s, he's the man. It's him and Steve McQueen. And Steve McQueen is almost the 70s.
Yeah.
We start getting Hackman. It's Hackman and McQueen in the 70s. To me, nobody touches Lancaster in this genre. He is the bomb.
No, he's
a great
amazing.
Actors. Paul Newman's probably in that category for me, is also being the same category as Lancaster. But for males, those are probably the top two stars to me of that genre of filmmaking. And for somebody not to see The Swimmer and not to see Birdman of Alcatraz and Joy's old movies, I'd be like, you're an idiot. And Elmer Gantry. Lancaster is just awesome.
That's us, Daniel. We're the idiots.
Wait, what?
We're the idiots, by the way.
I'm just saying you guys should check these films out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are prime cut movies.
Yes. Dr. Archibald Moonlight Graham.
Hey.
That was a great role from Field of Dreams.
Okay. Yes, so,
anyway, all right. Next.
Prime Cut, directed by Michael Ritchie, starring Lee Marvin, Gene Hackman, Angel Tompkins, Jeez Basic. I don't know if there's anyone else in it.
Kevin, Kevin's direction.
Chrissy Spacek.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Did you watch
it? I did not watch it recently because, again, it's another film that's not available on any of the streaming services. But I have seen this movie.
Oh, so nice
to
hear.
So I can discuss it.
Oh, yes. Good. I was worried.
Yeah, I figured you would be. I love this movie. This is a great movie. All right, Lee Marvin, it's total testosterone. Lee Marvin, mob enforcer for the Irish mob in Chicago. There's money that's supposed to be coming from Kansas City, and it hasn't been coming through. A previous enforcer was sent to get it, and that guy came back as sausage. So they put him in the meat grinder and sent him back. And did you like this guy? Was he a good guy? Yeah. And he says, well, what should I do with the sausage? Well, bury him. Bury it. So he goes and he confronts Marianne, who is Gene Hackman. And it's at some kind of like pig roast, pig farm auction thing that's going on. And you know, he walks up to him, they're having a discussion. He goes, what are you, you're eating guts. You're eating, he goes, yeah, I love to eat the guts. Like the insides of an animal, generally you don't have the organ meat ground up like that. It would be, anyway, so there's a lot of meat grinding in this movie, which was disturbing to me the first time I saw it. The white slavery pens were just like, what? What is this? They have a farmhouse full of naked girls, and they're auctioning them off, and Sissy Spacek catches Lee Marvin's eye and she begs for help, and so he takes her away. He rescues her, and she tells him all about her story and how she was in an orphanage, and instead of being adopted, she was just sold into slavery. Like, hey, well, let's just sell people into slavery. So I don't know, Gene Hackman, I guess this is an early role for Hackman. Although, what year is this movie? Is this 74?
It's got to be around
something
there.
Like that. 72.
So isn't Night Moves his big coming out party?
The Conversation.
Yeah, so yeah, this is Conversation 73, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. And then what was the one with the where he was the cop?
French Connection?
French Connection, yeah.
This is Hackman's like a major role period.
So Hackman is good in it, but he's likable. He's like he's got personality. He's got he's charming.
And yeah, this is after Bonnie and Clyde, so he had already had the Oscar nom for Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm-hmm. And Lee Marvin, I mean, Point Blank and other tough guy roles, he's perfect for this. And, you know, he's obsessed. He's got a crew of guys that don't necessarily make it through. But I thought the look of the film, there's a nice little bit of revenge at the end. And then revenge against the orphanage that sold her into slavery at the end too. So I thought Sissy Spacek was really good. You can see very young, like the fact that she would go into such an illustrious career, and she was just basically this naked girl in a pen that gets saved. And but I really enjoyed this film. I thought it looked, from the look of it, from the story of it, the idea of Kansas City gangsters is something you don't necessarily think about. So.
Doug?
I actually just looked it up. This is the movie Hackman did right after winning the Oscar for French Connection. So he went from the French Connection to Prime Cut. I love this movie. It is so bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like Kevin said, it starts with a guy getting turned into sausage. It has people in pens. It has Gene Hackman playing a guy named Marianne, and there's hinted at homosexual relationship with his brother in this movie. It's just off the wall. Lee Marvin is the ultimate tough guy. Mm-hmm. I love this movie. And it's short too. It's less than 90 minutes. You could just sit down, watch it, and I had fun with it. There's also the scene that was kind of a parody of North by Northwest, where Lee Marvin and Sissy Spacek are getting chased by, instead of a crop duster plane, it's a crop, I guess, mulcher
a thresher. Like,
giant lawnmower thresher.
Thresher, yeah.
Chasing after them. And I loved it. It was over the top and crazy, and I loved it.
I have to say, I mean, I think it works well that Gene Hackman's a little more cheerful and a little more conversational than Buckley Mervyn, forgot his name for a second there, because it works. Mm-hmm. Like, we need somebody to explain to us what's going on. Marvin's just going is the heavy to take everybody out. Like, even Spacek can't really help us because she doesn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, I mean, that chop cutter scene was probably my favorite scene in the movie. I'm like, how are they going to get out of this? And the car running right into it, getting chopped up, was freaking amazing. I like this film. I love these kind of films. Hour 26, in, out, quick movie, lots of violence. Lee Marvin playing Lee Marvin, being the real man, which is what I want Lee Marvin to do. I do not ever want to see Lee Marvin as the leading romantic actor, which we would have to do nowadays. I find the 70s have the best crime movies. Mm-hmm. French Connection, Conversation. And yes, I do think Conversation is a crime movie of some kind, which we'll get into hopefully one day. I think 70s movies are probably my favorite genre of this kind of filmmaking, where men were men. And I really do think that more than the 80s action films. I think plot is here. I think dialogue is here. I find it has a beginning, a beautiful middle, and an end. And Sissy Spacek is gorgeous. I thought Carrie was her first nudity until I saw this. I mean, I just love her as an actor. I think the cast works on all levels. I love the scene in the barn at the end. I like the scene with his wife and he lets the boat go. I thought that was a good sense of comedy. I really just enjoy Lee Marvin. I think you've opened the door for me, Doug, that I need to watch more Lee Marvin films.
Oh, absolutely.
And I go ahead, Kevin.
Have you seen Point Blank?
I've seen the remake. Isn't that the Mel Gibson remake one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen the Mel Gibson one, not his version of it.
Okay.
But to me, these movies are just these, people make fun of the 70s because of the clothes. And my argument is filmmakers or film historians spoke a lot in the 60s, 50s, 40s. You don't hear a lot about the 70s other than Godfather. And I think films like The French Connection.
I think you're wrong. I think you're totally wrong. I think the 70s revolutionized movie making.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. I think they should be celebrated more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think our generation is looking at the 70s. I think they're going to the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, or skipping the 70s.
Mm.
And I don't think they should. I think French Connection, this. Gene Hackman's a star. Pay attention.
I think it may be because the leading filmmakers of the 70s were, a lot of them were the same leading filmmakers of the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s.
I think you're right.
Scorsese, Spielberg, Coppola, what's his name? Whoever did The Exorcist? Whose name? Friedkin. You know, a lot of the same people.
The problem is, I'd say Coppola shot his bolt by 1980. When was Apocalypse Now?
79, 80, something.
That's his last film that's worth watching. And I mean, Spielberg.
Not Bram Stoker's Dracula.
It's okay.
What was that conversation?
I'm looking forward to the 70s. There's apparently a new version of Godfather 3 coming out. He's completely recut
it after all these years. I never finished Godfather 3. Sorry.
I'm
just saying, like, films like Night Moves don't get a lot of hits that should be. People haven't seen those films. And I think there's just so many films in here of undiscovered gems for myself that I haven't seen. So I think the 70s are something people should watch more. And this film should be watched more because I'd never heard of it.
Well, I'm going to tell you that.
Thank you, Doug.
This is a film that's hard to find because of the content with the white slavery pens. It's not available for purchase anymore. It was out on DVD a while back, but you can't buy it on iTunes. You can't find it on any streaming services. You can watch it on YouTube because people have put it up there, but that's it.
Okay. Did anybody buy anything this week?
No. What's that thing that you have found?
I'm going to tell you guys in a second. I just wondered
about some things.
Okay, well, Kevin's looking for it. People on the home video can see this, but the people in the podcast help. I actually have real film.
That's a great movie. Yeah.
I bought real film, Kevin. 3 for $20.
And you have nothing to play it on.
A real nature film. I have 3 of these, so people on the video can
see. Wait, a nature film or a naturalist film?
A naturalist. I don't know. Actually, I haven't looked at it.
So like nudie pictures?
No, it's nudie. It's like nature. I don't know. I bought them off some guy that worked at Western College in Ontario. Kevin went there, didn't you?
I went to Western for a while.
Yeah, did you steal some film for me? Maybe I got it from you.
No, I did not.
Well, I got 3 of these reels that people want to see, and I actually thought it looked good for my room, so I put them on my wall. So maybe we should start an Extra Features Instagram. Finally, I think we have one. I will put these up so people can see it on our Extra Features Instagram.
Do you have a projector on which to play it?
No, I'm putting them on my wall. They're just for display. So when you come to my basement, they'll have film reels on my wall.
Oh, okay, all right.
In my film room.
And then we'll discover you have the Zapruder film. Or something.
Maybe
like
I do. I wouldn't know if I haven't watched it.
Yeah, exactly.
Doug, what did you buy?
It's Mickey Spillane's The Girl Hunters, where Mickey Spillane himself plays Mike Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that. That's something I'm sure you'll put on a future episode.
I have a copy of that. We can watch it.
Where did you purchase that from, Doug?
Best Buy.
You're not allowed out of the house.
It's online. They deliver. They ship.
Oh,
I also got
right.
Parasite, the Criterion Collection Edition.
Mm.
So does that give you a black and white version and a color version?
Yes, it does. And the black and white is gorgeous.
Which I think Daniel saw in the movie theater.
Did I see the black and white version? Yeah, I think one of the times I went, I think I saw the black and white version at the third time I saw it in the theaters.
Yeah, I thought you did too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Cool. Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else?
All right, so here's what I got. There was a $5 sale this weekend, so I picked up The Phantom. You got a Slam Evil. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Still love that film.
The Commitments.
Which I still never do and seen that thing you do, and I got the wrong film.
I love The Commitments.
Yeah, this is a great movie, yeah.
Still never seen it.
Well, we'll have to review it then. Mystery Men.
Which I have not seen in years.
I also picked up Elizabeth and Elizabeth the Golden Age.
On Blu-ray or 4K, knowing you?
They're 4K. They're actually on iTunes. So I already had them on Blu-ray, so for $5 each, I got them on iTunes. So I can watch them wherever. And then I got a new code, so I upgraded my copy of Star Trek 2009.
You can just burn that.
And then I picked up Blade. Because Blade is getting the 4K upgrade next
week. I heard that. I want to see that because I love that opening sequence.
Yeah, so I bought it for $10 and then in December it'll automatically upgrade to 4K. So, oh, and then I also got Batman Death in the Family.
Have you done the interactive part?
So it's a bit of a rip because I bought it on iTunes and the interactive does not work on iTunes. So the interactive only works if you buy the Blu-ray.
Oh.
Because the Blu-ray has branching, which iTunes does not have. So you basically get a movie, and then you can watch alternate timelines as an option. So you can watch the one storyline, and then you can go in and watch what happens if he does this, what happens if this happens, and then what happens if this happens. And all of them are awful. So I would not, I don't even know if I'd recommend, but if you want to review it, we can do that. So.
Okay. Before we go, everybody, you can email us at Extra Features. And if you hate me, don't worry, Daniel reads all the emails, so I'll probably never see it, so that's good.
We've been working on the website, so.
We've been working on the website. I almost have the first 50 episodes that I have. I'm only missing a couple. Sorry. I can't find them, but you never know. I may find them one day, but I highly doubt it.
You've been putting up a lot of interviews.
We've been doing interviews. I just want everybody to know we're going to do a couple more new episodes, and then we'll be getting close to our end-of-the-year wrap-up show. So please listen to them because they are original content. We do talk about our best of the year and our worst of the year, and we have special guests. Maybe Daniel will shave his beard, and that'll be the special guest, a new beardless Daniel.
No.
Okay. Well, until Daniel shaves his beard and they make it,
Simon and I reenact for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Everybody have a good day. Goodbye.
You too.
Good night.
Have a wonderful time. Okay.